Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is David Nagel, and I'd like to welcome you to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about getting out of the weeds. What happens when we get stuck? What causes us to stay there? How do we recognize it? And then how the hell do we get out of it and move forward and move forward rapidly to the desired result that we want? So let's take a look at, pick a problem that you currently have in your life that is relatively new but still has not changed yet. It could be increasing your income. It could be a relationship problem. It could be something in business. It could be basically any problem that you're currently experiencing. The idea that I want to present first is this. There are so many people that act and behave differently when presented with a problem. And of course, we could also go into the idea of the differences in the kinds of problems that show up in a person's life and how they behave differently to each of those problems. Because one could be like a traumatic event type of a problem, and you have how the person's behaving in that situation. And then you could have maybe like a small problem, like you got a flat tire or something like that. And anything in between. But here's what's interesting. There, you have one type of individual who, when a problem will show up in their life, the one thing, all they're focused on is fixing it. They don't want to discuss it. They don't want to know about it. They don't want to find out how they got there. They just want to fix it and move on. And if you try to even talk to them about it, they don't want to discuss it. They really just don't want to. They've got a lot of internal dialogue going on around the issue. The issue's upset their life. They're probably characteristic of not a person who doesn't deal with change well. So they just move on. They want to just get out of the situation, move on as fast as they can. And they really want to forget about it. Like, they don't want to talk about it. You know, a year down the road, they don't want to talk about it. They just want to keep moving forward. That's it. We're not saying that that's good or not good. That's not the proposition that I'm presenting here for that. I'm just describing that you have that individual. Then you have the individual who a problem will show up, and they panic. And when they panic, they just freeze, and they can't seem to do anything. Their mind just spins around whatever the problem is presenting. And generally what they're doing is they're going to an extreme place in their mind as to what it means. And that causes them to get stuck because they can't seem to break the pattern. Now, with each one of these things, there's something very interesting that I'm going to uncover and help unravel so that you can see how you're actually approaching problems in your own life. And then you have another individual who they'll have a problem. And they'll come from like a responsible, more balanced place as far as dealing with it. So let's say that the problem is there was a significant issue in their life that cost them, say, an extra $10,000 that month, and they're going to be $10,000 short, or several thousand dollars short for the next few months. It's going to cause a shortage because they're on a fixed income type thing. But they're not the panicky type. They don't really go into fear. What they do is they look at the problem, they dig down deep into responsibility and the ability to problem solve. They will ask the question of what caused this problem, but they won't dwell on it. They'll get a good idea of where it came from, how did it happen, what did this. They won't bring superstitious thinking into it. Their mind won't spin around it too much. There may be a little spin, but not too much. And then they will work on figuring out what it is. They will probably also talk to others about it, so they'll be communicative as the problem is happening, maybe even search for advice, ask for opinions. And they will figure it out either by themselves or with the help of others, and they'll figure out a way to move forward. They will not have any issue talking about it in the future. They may actually offer up conversation around it in the future. And of course, they'll build a narrative around the problem. So they've got an entire story that goes around this issue. You have another type of individual who, when a problem will occur in their life, they get stuck in the idea of what caused this, what's causing this problem. So what's actually happening is they're recognizing a problem and they can't seem to move forward. Their mind goes kind of blank on what is the solution for this problem. And they literally stay stuck in the story of the problem. So they're looking into their past. They're looking into their past behavior. They're looking into how they've interacted with other people based on how are other people intertwined or involved in this problem. And the more they go into this story and trying to figure it out, the deeper into the weeds that they go. And this is what happens with so many people that cannot seem to move forward in life, or move forward significantly, or move forward like when I teach like quantum leap strategy in a person's business or life, or in their ability to make money. They can't ever get to that because they're too busy being stuck in the story of the problem, which continually just keeps expanding and getting deeper and more convoluted and more confusing. And then they start going into their past and they're looking at different representations of the problem in their past. And they're saying, well, who was involved in this? And then they start going into the stories of other people. You know, why did this person do that? And what is it that this person's, what was their intention? And will they do it again? And then they might start looking at the behavior of that person and then going deep down in, you know, into that. And all of this searching is definitely a way to avoid dealing with the problem at hand, because they're actually not tackling the problem at hand. What they're trying to do is a pattern that I really want to speak to today that I think will, if you recognize it in yourself, it's going to, and you take some of the advice that I'm going to offer, it will free you up from this kind of being stuck in the weeds type thing. And it's important to understand that if you are self-identifying with any of the representations of these different people that I presented, you may not necessarily want to do that, because there's a lot of different variations on how people get stuck in these weeds. I think what the most important thing is for this conversation is that you really look at where are you not moving forward in your life, and then listen to this as a way of saying to yourself, is this in fact what I'm doing to keep myself not from moving forward? So, all right, so let's get down to what's actually taking place. In order to understand what's actually taking place, what a person is doing, we're really kind of looking at their model for how they deal with life to begin with. And one of the interesting things that I have always, I've studied this a bit. I've read a lot about it. I've heard a lot of people talk about it over the years. I definitely think that there is a tremendous amount of truth to this idea. And I'm really fascinated with how we actually do this as human beings. But basically what it is our ability to storytell or create a story that then gives whatever it is that we're creating the story around meaning. And then that meaning gets turned into a belief and then a subset of values and ethics and behaviors to then work itself out to verify that belief in our life. But the problem is that there's no real stepping back and asking ourselves the question, is this a belief that's worth holding on to? Or in other words, is it going to move me forward in my life? Is it going to produce a desired result? Or is this a belief that I can would be much better probably letting go or changing it? And so the question is, why? Well, it goes back to the storytelling to begin with. So why is it, why do we do this? Why do we get into this storytelling? We get into the storytelling so that it is a human being's way of an attempt to make meaning of something. I think like human beings are like meaning addicted. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think that sometimes it can be good, or many times it can be really good. Like we figured out all kinds of things throughout history because somebody sat down and said, what does this mean? How do I give this meaning? What is the utility of this experience or this thing that I'm creating or this thing that I discovered? And how is that actually going to benefit me or humanity moving forward? And of course, there's a lot of people that have done it in very destructive ways throughout history also, because they've created some kind of story that threatens their core insecurities in life or their neurosis. And then the meaning that they give them has to do with violating other people's rights or hurting them or destroying them or whatever it might be in order to get their own internal needs met. So, you know, the question is then, well, why are we going to tell these stories? And is there any useful utility in actually doing that? So that we can live a better life. And my answer to that is yes, I believe that there is. I think that we need meaning as individuals, but I also think we have to understand that there's, you know, the old precept is that there's nothing that has meaning until we give it meaning. Till human beings give it meaning, it doesn't have any meaning. And so what does that really say? Because on one hand, we can say, well, if you took human beings off the face of the planet and we were just looking at nature and Earth as it is, does that mean that, you know, the plants, the animals, the trees, the ocean, you know, all the mountains, that there's no meaning there? What there wouldn't be is a consciousness of meaning. So there would be nothing to interpret the meaning. But it would actually have a purpose in and of itself. And that would be, the purpose would be to move the life forward that it is consistently creating and driving forward. And of course you could present the argument that how could that be true if there's nobody there to observe it and actually give it meaning? And there is that argument holds a lot of water because it takes the perception and observation of a human being in order to give it that meaning. But it would still have an action in and of itself, regardless if a human being was there or not. What that would mean would be really nothing, because there's nothing there to actually observe it with any form of higher consciousness. So enter in the human being. The human being with its higher form of consciousness that has the ability to observe, it has the ability to critically think, and it has the ability to give meaning, then steps into a situation and starts pointing at different things in its life that it's observing, thinking about them to some degree, either consciously or unconsciously, and then creating a story around whatever it is that they're observing, and then that thing has meaning in their life. They know what to do with it, or they know not what to do with it. They know what position it holds in its life, if it's important, if it's necessary, if it's pleasurable, if it's painful, if it's dangerous, if it's good. You know, so we now know what to do with that once we've done that. The question becomes then, what is creating the, or how do we actually create these stories? With what belief system do we use to create stories in our early childhood? Because that's really where a lot of our beliefs are coming. Yes, of course, we have beliefs where our parents said, you know, this is absolutely true, and we just accepted that it was true, and we learned meaning around it a little bit later, but it was really the idea that somebody else gave to us, and it was not so much constructed out of our own empirical scientific evaluation of whatever that thing is. Now, this is where the problem comes in, because the way that we're constructing the story around anything in our life is an attempt for us to have some control over our own life and over the environment that we're actually in by saying all these different things that we know about. We've given them meaning. We've categorized them some way in our mind so that we know if they're safe or they're not safe. And then we know what it is that we're going to do with them, or what we need to do with them, or even what we need to stay away from in some cases, or what we need not to do. And the problem is that we're always doing that very much in a reactionary state. So when we were babies, when we came into the world, we were very reactionary to the world that's around us. It's fascinating because when a little baby comes into the world, the brain is not patterned in a way where it stops, it pauses, it thinks about something, and then it decides to take a proactive action in the child's life. The baby is automatically going for what it needs in the moment, and it does not have the ability to pause and wait. It's not like you got a 2-month-old that's crying because they're hungry, so they go from being really happy to screaming because they're hungry. And mom says, you know, to the little child, can you give me 5 minutes and let me finish what I'm doing? You know, and the baby's like, okay, mom, that's cool. No, the baby's not going to do that. So we literally become, you know, the baby's calling the shots at that point. But as mom and dad begin to bring in some discipline and start to show that child as it begins to grow a different way of doing things, it begins to teach the child patience and pausing. That then overcomes the part of the brain that causes us to react immediately without thinking. So mom and dad are really kind of wiring the brain at this point. And then mom and dad start telling us about things, and they start telling us what we can do and what we can't do, and why we can do things and not do things. And children are very curious. They're always asking why, because that helps them create a story to give meaning around anything in their life. If we go a little bit deeper into that, we also have to understand we can't rule out the idea that the formative years of our infancy were really based in security. That's what we needed the most. There's no question about it. So a lot of the stories that are created have a foundation of security and safety in them. It's very important to know, because if we look at the stories that we create about anything, we have to ask ourselves a question: am I creating this story to be safe, or am I creating a story that is going to allow me to be resourceful and healthy and move forward and gain and be, do, and have the things I want in life? It's really fascinating when we start to break this down, because very often when we get stuck in the weeds, what we're doing is we're trying to find a way to be safe. So think about it like this. When we're a little kid and something happens, or we're being exposed to something, the first thing that we do is start to create a story around something. So this becomes a way of approaching the world in and of itself. Have observation, or have experience, create the story. The story then helps us build a belief. The belief has a subset of ethics and values, and then it tells us how to behave in the situation. Let's remove good or bad for a moment, because the values, the hierarchy of values that's under that belief then tell us what to do. If the belief is this is good, then it's something we embrace. If the belief this is bad or uncomfortable, then it's usually something that we move away from, usually. Of course, if a person has an injured mind or they're psychologically unwell, that outcome could vary. But we're talking about generally a healthy individual here. So then they moved out. They start moving into their life, into the world of teenager, young adult, mature adult. And if they've never changed the approach where it's have the experience, create the story, then build the belief, build the value and ethics, do the actions, move on. What happens when a problem shows up? They automatically go into the idea of what is the story that I already have around this. Now, why? Because what we're looking for in our life, if we're coming from a point of actually being safe, is do I recognize this? Because we think in patterns. Human beings have this incredible ability to recognize patterns. So we're having experiences and we're saying, is this something that's similar that I've experienced in the past or not? And then the mind starts to spin. So if we cannot figure out immediately, if the way is not shown immediately how we will be safe moving forward with the situation, we automatically go into unraveling the stories that we've already created to find the solution. Now, this is really big if you think about this, because it means that we're digging into our past in order to find the solution for a current problem right now. Why is that? Because basically, that's the way that we've been taught. That's the way that we've been educated in life. Very few people actually sit down and say, I don't need to dig into my past over this and spend time evaluating what my sixth grade teacher did to me that embarrassed me, that's now causing me to have some kind of avoidance issue and go into resistance in my life. That's the way most people behave. But if we were to sit down and say, now, wait a minute, here's this situation that I have in my life, because I have the ability to create a story, I also have the ability to create any story around this that I want. And it is how we create that story that determines what direction we actually go in from the point of the experience itself. So when we have an experience and we immediately start going into this is a good experience, this is a bad experience, and I'm just saying that superficially because there's many different directions that we can go and evaluations that we can give to this idea. That's where we start to get stuck in the weeds, because the only place for us to pull from is from past experience. And I'm not saying that we can't use past experience at all. We're going to use past experience, beliefs, stories, values as part of a way to evaluate the way that we move forward. But if we're constantly trying to make sense out of it from our past, we're not actually moving forward. At that point, we're like in a hypnotic illusion where we have the feeling that we're doing something productive, but we're not actually doing something productive. We're finding a way to feel good like we're doing something, but actually stay in the same place. So that form of storytelling, or story digging, I should say, it's absolutely not productive, because it keeps a person in the same place. Not only does it do that, but I think over a period of time, it literally has the ability to pull us backwards, sometimes rather quickly. And the reason for this is that the more we reminisce on that story in our mind, the more we make it stronger, the more it expands, the more characters we add to it. we shape and shift and move and give meaning to those characters in different ways, like the people that are in our past. And what it does is it anchors us deeper into that story. Then we will create usually a parallel narrative and meaning for the story that is literally keeping us stuck and the situation that's keeping us stuck. So here's what I propose. What I propose is this. Understand that you have the ability to evaluate and think and critically think about anything that's happening in your life. And you also have the ability to create a story around that. You're going to do it whether you consciously do it or you subconsciously do it anyway. So we might as well do it in a way that's productive, which would be to consciously think about the circumstance or situation that we're in, understand that the story that we create for this situation or circumstance is going to be very important as to whether we move forward or backward on it. So we want to create a story that is going to allow us to move forward, even if it jeopardizes letting go of a story from our past that's not necessarily good to hold on to, but it makes you safe and secure to hold on to that story. I'll give you an idea what that might be like. So let's say something in your past happened where you were victimized to some extent, and you have a victimized story around that. And over the years, you've worked on it, and you've let go of your resentment and your anger around it. You've forgiven the victim. You really feel like you've stepped into your own power around that story, and you've moved forward. But it's always back there. And every time something happens that floats around the edges of that story, whether it's an observation you see on the news or somebody else tells a story or you're reading a book and you see something that references that behavior or situation that happened in the past, or you see it in a movie, doesn't matter what, that story will come up to you. It's like a little reminder that this is what happened. And you may not even have a lot of energy around it. It just reminds your brain that there it is. So when that happens, there's always this little twinge of, hey, don't forget about this. Don't forget about this thing that happened in your past. Now, why is that important? What's important about it is that if you're really moving forward at big speed, like you're taking big risks in life, you're consciously attempting to grow really big and expand. You've got a big dream, a big vision. You're taking big action in your life. Well, the bigger those things are, the more there is an opportunity for consequence if it doesn't work out or something goes wrong or you make the wrong decision or the wrong choice. So as we start to do that, there's always that little remembrance in the past going, yeah, but don't forget about this when you were victimized, or don't forget about this when everything fell apart or went wrong. And if we're not careful, that little reminder could play into how useful we actually make the new story. So when we're sitting down thinking about the make a new story, especially around significant things in our life, but even, I would say even with small things, because small things that might creep in, that past remembrance might creep in and affect how you create the story, really without you, it could be like flying under the radar. You're not really aware that it's actually doing that. But sit down consciously and think to yourself, how do I want to create this story regardless of that past experience so that I can move forward? So it's almost like the past experience isn't there. And you just might have to completely let that go out of your life, and almost like it happened to somebody else, and start creating stories based on the way that you want to go. What this does is it really sets up the foundation for, like when I do teachings around helping people manifest money, large sums of money in a short period of time, really moving their business forward, expanding it, you know, in really great ways, or doing it quickly, making giant quantum leaps in their life. In order for that to happen, the foundation of the story that they have to have for themselves to do it is, it's imperative. It's so very, very important that they're in the right story in their mind so that they can actually do it. And if they're still carrying around a bunch of fictional stuff from the past, it's not going to happen. But the idea is not to go delve into the past forever and unwind this stuff. Most people do that to some degree in their life. Yes, there are people that really need to kind of unpack their past and make peace with it. I totally get that. But if you've done that to some degree and you're really ready to move forward and get out of the weeds, if you've done that to some degree and you still find yourself being stuck in the weeds, you may really want to take a look at what is the story that you tell yourself about specific problems, events, and situations in your life that is keeping you bogged down and not allowing you to move forward. And then find out what pieces of the story am I giving it from my past that helped me feel safe in that situation. Then write a new story based on where you would want to go without the limitations of the past in the new story. So you write it without those limitations. And so this is where the act as if idea kind of comes in, and it actually plays a useful role. Because what you're doing is you're saying, well, if all these things in my past hadn't actually happened and I was free to write this story the way that I want to write it, with the outcome that's fun and exciting and great and wonderful, how would I write that story? And that's how you write it. Now, when you do that, consider this. However you write that story, you're giving meaning to whatever it is that you're writing the story about. What is the meaning that you want this to have, right? And it's also very useful for when things go wrong in our life. What meaning do we want to give it? We have a choice of what meaning, right? Even if you're experiencing something that's totally sucky in your life, you have the ability to give whatever meaning to it that you want. And it's kind of separating the emotional self from the intellect, and you letting the intellect kind of rule in this moment, not disregarding the emotional self, but just separating it momentarily and saying, here's something that would be much better. I'll process the emotional part in later, but here's what would be the best thing for me as far as an outcome of meaning. And then make sure that it aligns with your values and ethics. Sometimes we need to go in there and do a little digging and see, are they still the same values and ethics that I want to keep moving forward, or do they need to be changed or adjusted? And then what is the action that I need, or what is the belief that I create and the action that I need to take moving forward on that? So hopefully you find this useful. It was a thought that I had been thinking about for a while. I've run into a lot of people lately that really seem to be stuck in stories of past behavior, and it's one of the ways that I'm working on helping them move forward, and we have been having great results with it. So I hope you make it a great day. I hope this was useful. We'll see you on episode 105. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.